This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons. See, nobody knows what I'm laughing about because they can't see Jay James dancing in the window. Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at sevilletomorrow.org joins us every Tuesday afternoon. Talk a little growth, development, and local politics. And speaking of local politics, here we are on the eve of another big local election. Lots of local offices and lots of competition for those offices, especially in the county. And in comes Charlottesville Tomorrow with your annual voter guides.
We are so excited. And I,
as well you should be.
I have a picture on our website of what 25,000 copies of a voter guide looks like. It fits on two pallets.
Oh, man.
These pallets came out of Richmond. The Daily Progress printed up the voter guides, and I want to thank the Daily Progress for their partnership on this. It's a co-production, and also BB&T. BB&T is our corporate sponsor for the voter guide, and they've got an advertisement we want to draw everyone's attention to within the voter guide. But if you are out there listening and you live in the Rio District, or you live in the Samuel Miller District of Albemarle County,
that's me,
or you live in the city of Charlottesville, one of these voter guides is en route to your house.
Dwayne So's my neighbor. Do you know that?
And you and Mr. Snow both should be getting one of these voter guides.
He came by my house. As a matter of fact, he's the only candidate that came by my house. Although I think somebody else did because they left some literature, but I can't remember who it was. I guess it was Madison Cummings.
Door to door in your neck of the woods is kind of difficult.
Dwayne Snow came by on a, whatchamacallit?
Segway?
On a Segway.
Really?
Indeed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you're running for office, you have to go door to door in your neighborhood. I think that's one of the, don't you teach people that at Sorensen?
I do.
You should.
I teach anybody aspiring that it ain't rocket science, and the person, and you know this because you're on the school board, the person who knocks on the most doors usually wins when it comes to a local election because people like to meet you. They want to shake your hand.
Yep.
You know, even if they don't agree with you, you can actually influence somebody just by standing on their doorstep and saying hi.
And in the city of Charlottesville, I think it's relatively easy to go door to door. There are lots of houses in a small, dense, tightly packed area. In the county of Albemarle, it can be quite difficult. Because it's a rural county. It's the fifth largest county in Virginia, geographically. So that makes going door-to-door a little more challenging.
What is it, like 700 square miles?
725, I think, is the
official
you know, number.
I'm just sitting here thinking, looking at these voter guides. If you're like me and you're a pretty strong political moderate and you don't really go with either party or any party, you just sort of look at every election as its own thing and every candidate as his or her own thing in that individual space and time, depending upon the circumstances, this is what you need. I mean, this voter guide, I'm sitting here looking and going, oh my gosh, I've got to read this. This is exactly what somebody like me needs to get apples to apples in this election.
That's the goal. We interviewed each candidate, asked them about 16 questions, pulled out, I think, 7 questions for the voter guide, and we're giving you some of the highlights, the excerpts. If you want all 16 questions, you can go to sevilletomorrow.org, click on the elections link, and you can find all of the details. You can even listen to the audio if you'd like. But as you're right, Coy, this is as close to a fireside chat as you will get with these candidates before the election. So if you're in one of those districts, we will be sending you a copy of this for free. That said, we could certainly use people's help paying for the postage. And you can go to sevilletomorrow.org and make a contribution. And if you did, that would be much appreciated. It's going to cost about $5,000, $6,000 to mail 25,000 copies of this throughout the area. But it's an important document, and we're happy to get it out there.
This is great.
We've got a couple candidate forums coming up. This is sort of the last big week for candidate forums. And there are 3 opportunities. I want to make sure the public knows about them. There's a city council candidate forum tomorrow night, October 21st. It's sponsored by the Alliance of Neighborhoods. That will be in city council chambers. And I learned today that it will be on public access TV. So that's a way you can watch.
Is that still on Channel 10? It
Channel
was in
10.
The old days, yeah.
Channel 10. You can,
Channel
you can
10.
Watch the city council candidates in person or on TV tomorrow night. And then Thursday is a big day because some of the county candidates are going to have 3 back-to-back candidate forums.
Whoa.
Here's the lineup. At noon or thereabouts, the North Charlottesville Business Council is having all the county candidates for lunch. I don't think that one's on our agenda, on our calendar, because you have to pay for lunch to go to that one. We're not covering that event, but later in the afternoon, as soon as they're done with lunch, they will not even have digested. And the three Samuel Miller district candidates, that's Dwayne Snow, the Republican, the Democrat is Madison Cummings, the Independent is John Lowry, the three of them will be in the studios of NBC 29 doing a live internet candidate forum. As far as I know, in this area, it's the first local election live internet streamed candidate forum that's ever happened.
Wow, it's history.
So those three candidates will be in the hot seat at 2:30. And the only way to watch this is to go to NBC29.com, follow the links on their homepage to the live Samuel Miller district candidate
forum. I have to
say,
as an aside, just a tangent, totally unrelated to this, they recently redid their website. I hate it.
You do?
It takes forever for it to load. It takes forever just to see what's going to be on the nightly news.
Maybe you need more bandwidth, Coy.
I got it. I'm paying for 10 megs. You know, it's unbelievable. I'm not a fan of the new website.
The streaming is quite phenomenal, though. I will tell you that. I went to the studio last week, and Rob Bell and Cynthia Neff were debating. And this was sort of the trial run for NBC 29 to do a live internet stream debate. And so I sat in the control room and watched. And our job, Charlottesville Tomorrow's job at this thing, is going to be to watch Twitter, Facebook, and any comments coming in on the NBC 29 website to capture questions, audience questions. So people will be able to ask questions live as it's happening. We'll be watching Facebook, Twitter, and their inbox to collect those.
Very cool.
And so anyway, but it's, you know, their studio looks great. And the, you know, they've got all their equipment right there.
Yeah.
So it's just
the online video is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that. You download some special player and you can watch 29 News.
And that's
at night.
A good point.
You can watch it live if you want.
If you have not done this and you want to participate, go to that site now and try to watch a video on NBC 29. That way you can get this plug-in.
I think it's Silverlight.
Called Silverlight by Microsoft.
Seconds. It's just really
get that loaded on your machine. Just make sure it works. And then you'll be able to, you know, jump right in and watch the debate tomorrow or Thursday.
There you go.
The other one Thursday night, then after they're done with Jail 29, they'll get dinner somewhere, and then they'll be off to the environmental groups are having a candidate forum on Thursday evening. And I believe that starts at 7 at Westminster Presbyterian Church. And that's the organizations like Advocates for a Sustainable Albemarle Population, Piedmont Environmental Council, and some others are having what I think is the last debate. There may be others next week that I haven't learned about, but I think this is sort of the last big blast.
It's a lot of forums, isn't it? A lot of fora?
It's about the usual
number for big local elections?
Yep, us.
You know, speaking of downloading something, here's another tangent. Have you ever done Skype?
I have witnessed Skype. I have not participated
myself.
I am
a new fan of Skype, and I want to recommend to everybody.
Tell people what it is, Coy.
Brian, it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Now, and my sister has been telling me, literally for months, please go to Skype. Please get Skype. Because she lives in Kiev now.
Now, do you need a video camera to use Skype?
You need a camera, but there's a built-in camera on my Mac laptop.
Oh, okay.
But you do need a camera. But no, wait a minute.
You don't
need a camera. If you want a video chat, you need a camera.
Okay.
But you can just audio chat, so you'd need a microphone or whatever.
So it's basically phone calls over the internet.
It's the Jetsons,
you can,
man.
You can
it's
do
the
video
Jetsons.
If you want.
It's a video. It's a video and talking. I downloaded this thing. It took seconds. I loaded it onto my computer. It took less than really 2 minutes to get it on there. Turned it on, had my sister's name. Within 5 minutes, we are video talking. She's on the other side of the planet. And the video is streamless. It's just perfect.
Streamless. Is that a new word?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's not all choppy and broken
right.
up. It looks perfect.
It's good.
It's like she's in the next room. I have no microphone in front of me. It's all built into to my laptop, the camera mm-hmm. and the microphone. I'm just sitting there in front of my computer talking to my sister on the other side of the planet.
I've heard more and more people using Skype. I know in the school division.
And it was free.
In the school division, we've even interviewed applicants over Skype via video.
It's totally cool. You got to do it.
I think the troops in Afghanistan and Iraq are communicating with their families using Skype and keeping in touch that way.
It is the coolest thing. You can call somebody on their cell phone if you want. You got to pay for it. But if it's a Skype to Skype conversation, it's absolutely free no matter where you are in the world.
I predict as soon as daughter Abby is in college next year, we will be Skyping a fair amount.
Yeah.
Don't
you
think?
Yeah. And I moved the camera so I could show her buddy, you know, her former dog and my current dog. And then my daughter got on my lap and we're talking and saying hi. And
you're not giving that dog back, are you?
No.
No, good.
Sometimes I want to. Sometimes I give it serious consideration when he's getting into the garbage. And a half-eaten Zazu's wrap is all over my floor.
Just throw a ball down into the lake. He'll come back in a little while.
Yeah, all muddy and nasty. So Skype, double thumbs up here from the Pie Guys. Absolutely, that's good stuff. So upcoming forums are good. When do these voter guides get mailed out? When can people start looking for them?
They're at Mailing Services of Virginia this week, getting their addresses put on them, and next week they will be hitting the mailboxes.
Well, people are going to love this. This is great. Or if you don't want to wait, you can go to SeaVilleTomorrow.org/elections right now.
Instant gratification.
And you get even more than is what is in this guide.
But you can download a PDF of both of these voter guides and take a look and see what the candidates are saying. It's the candidates' own words. We're not endorsing anybody. We're just telling you what they told us.
Good stuff. There you go. And these are all based on interviews that you conducted with them, that Charlottesville Tomorrow staff conducted with all the candidates.
You got it.
There you go. Now, do you want to talk about the fundraising as long as we're on local politics?
Sure. We had a story in the Saturday Daily Progress and up on our website. As you know, Coy, every so often there's a filing deadline. The candidates have to inform the state how much money they've brought in, how much money they've spent. And the numbers are getting quite high in this local election cycle, much higher than the 2 years ago in 2007. So here are the interesting stats. David Slutsky is now the leading recipient of campaign funds. He's got over $71,000. And
for a board of supervisors race,
I went back.
Holy cow.
Now, just because you have the money, that is not an indicator of whether you're going to win.
Of course not.
We learned that in 2007 because Dave Wyant was the big winner money wise in 2007. And Malik still beat him. And the differential there was Dave Wyant brought in about $61,000 and Malik brought in about $41,000. So that $61,000 was the highest number in 2007. Through September, we're already at $71,000 with David Slutsky for one candidate.
They just get more and more expensive.
And October, you know, I assume is going to be another big month.
Oh, man. That is amazing.
So that's where we are. His opponent, I mentioned David Slutsky. His opponent is Rodney Thomas, the challenger, running as a Republican. And Mr. Thomas has brought in, where's that number? 50-something. Oh, wait, there it is. 52,000.
And this is all online at VPAP, right? So you can see where the money's coming from.
It is. If
you can see who is giving the money.
That's right. You can just click on a candidate and click on their donors, and you can see it all.
VPAP.org, VPAP.org.
One of the things that's interesting about Mr. Thomas, he was endorsed by the local realtors, and they gave him $10,000 early in September, and then later in September, they decided to give some more. So they gave another $5,000.
Well, they probably saw the differential between what he was raising, what Slutsky was raising.
So the local realtors have put $15,000 on Rodney Thomas. The biggest donation coming in to Mr. Slutsky was
that make him the growth candidate, you think?
Well, you know, Mark Fried is the largest donor to the Slutsky campaign. He's a real estate developer. So there's $10,000.
So you don't not necessarily so?
Not necessarily so.
Very interesting. There you go. And all of that is available online at vpap.org. And it's pretty interesting. You can really drill down there in some numbers and see. You can even see who in your neighborhood is giving to who.
That's true.
Because anything over what amount is gets recorded.
Typically I think it's over $100. Once you exceed $100, it's something you report.
It goes into public information.
And if you gave two $50 contributions, the second 50 bumps you up into the public list.
There you go. And it's all online at vpap.org, which continues to cover local elections here in Central Virginia and in just a few other places in Virginia, right?
And on Charlottesville Tomorrow's website, when you go to the Elections Watch page, you can click on any candidate, and down at the bottom of the candidate bio is a link straight to their VPAP information, so you can get right to it. We'll save you the trouble of searching for it.
Good stuff. Now, we're going to take a break here in a minute to get a local news update from Chris Callahan in the 24-hour WINA newsroom. You see, they still haven't found that girl yet?
I did see that. That's a real tragedy.
It's really sad. That's scary. Man. I mean, that is scary. Can you imagine her family? Oh, my God. That's just, what a nightmare.
Yep. I saw them on the news last night, and I don't know how they were holding it together.
You know, that's just awful. And this is real versus, you know, Balloon Boy, which was all fake. Fake tears, fake drama. This is just a whole tragic, tragic thing. This girl just goes to a concert and then just disappears. That's the worst thing about it for her family. You don't know if she's alive or dead or if she's hurting or stuck somewhere? Or what's going on?
Well, we hope she gets home safely.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll break for local news and weather. When we get back, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about the county's financial situation. There was a supervisor retreat last week, and some of the candidates running for seats on the Board of Supervisors have weighed in on their different positions on the budget and what to do next. I want to give you an update on the Eastern Bypass proposal, something we talked about last week. There's some breaking news in the Daily Progress today about that situation. And then we've got some other tidbits we'll fill in if we have time.
Good stuff. Coming up in just a few minutes, stay with us. We're talking growth and development and local politics with Brian Wheeler. This is Charlottesville right now.
Moving forward, using all my breath.
38 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. It's 22 before 6. I hope you're having a good Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for joining me. I'm Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville right now.
Never really knowing it was always mesh and lace. I'll stop the world and melt with you.
You know, back in the day when I used to dance, back in the 80s, long, long time ago, this is the one song I would love to dance to. I got some good memories of this song.
I danced for about a week in the 80s, I think.
That week before you threw your hip out, right?
And then it was over.
Ryan Wheeler joins me live in studio on Tuesday afternoon. So what is all this about financial woes in Albemarle County?
Well, I'm glad we had a good laugh before we get into this, because the news is not looking good for Albemarle County. That's what the Board of Supervisors learned at their retreat last weekend, or last Friday, rather. I was not at the meeting, but Sean Tubbs wrote a story for us on SeavilleTomorrow.org, and a few things I would just highlight, Coy. They are looking at raising the tax rate. So right now it's 74.2 cents, and they're looking at taking it up to 77.2, with the idea being that would be a sort of a have a neutral impact on taxpayers, because property assessments are going down. So you'd basically be they're trying to pick a rate that would have you pay the same amount in taxes. Now, of course, your investment, your house, is declining in value. So I know some people view that as a tax increase, and
yeah,
I understand where they're coming from. But anyway, that was one of the key things that was put in front of the Board of Supervisors. The reason that idea was put in front of them is because their five-year financial plan does not balance. In fact, if you look 5 years out at the financial plan, it's negative $5.8 million. Now, the budget is, you know, much, you know, that's only a small percentage of the budget, but the county government has to, you know, balance its budget every year by law. So $5.8 million is the revenue shortfall they're looking at in 5 years. But even in the next fiscal year, for fiscal year 2011, we're looking at $2.4 million. So it grows from $2.4 million to $5.8 million over these 5 years. That's the ongoing shortfall for local government to do its work. This doesn't include the schools. This is just local government. So one of the things
That's an important point to make, because the schools is the biggest part of the budget.
The schools have other challenges, and we can talk about those on another day. But you know, the revenue picture, if it's not good for local government, it's also not good for schools, because the money is transferred from local government. That's the appropriating body that sets the tax rate, receives the money from the state, federal government, et cetera. So anyway, with the shortfall, that's one of the things they're looking at. The other things that Bob Tucker put on the table was that they need to keep in mind property assessments are expected to go down 3.75% lower in the next fiscal year. Sales tax revenues expected to continue down 2% lower next year. This is a quote from Tom Foley, the deputy county executive. He said, quote, "We are facing a significant imbalance between revenues and expenditures." And I mentioned those shortfall numbers. So they're going to increase the number of frozen positions from 55 frozen positions today to 65. No salary increases are projected for next year's budget. They're also saying they're not going to spend any money on professional development, and they're not going to put any money towards previous cuts that they have made. So this is to address the shortfall. Again, I think in the spirit of what Mr. Tucker, the county executive, is saying is they want an equalized tax rate. They want a rate that assumes for the average taxpayer that they're not paying any more. But at the same time, they're recognizing they've got to back away from priorities that the county has had. Priorities like funding the acquisition of conservation easements, that would be eliminated. trying to put money into transportation. That was something Albemarle County tried to do on its own so that it could get access to revenue sharing money from the Virginia Department of Transportation. If you put up a little money, they will match it in some cases.
We don't have a little money.
We don't have a little money, so that's going to be discontinued. Eliminating spending for recycling centers. I know recycling is something you've talked about on your show. That would be eliminated during the next 5 years. Reducing funding for affordable housing trust funds.
So these are all the cuts that they're proposing to put on the table that the supervisors can look at coming up next year during when we talk about the tax rate season.
That's right. And the way this works is in October, the supervisors get an update on compensation issues. They left that meeting saying, okay, we've got to assume no raises this year. November, they have their retreat. They talk about where they are on the strategic plan and what the five-year financial plan looks like. And this is all building up into the county executive presenting a budget in January, February, the final, you know, a budget proposal. So at this point, this is all just early background information to help guide the process. And what the supervisor said in essence was, it's okay to consider that as your next assumption. Assume that the rate can be 77.2 and, you know, put that into your budget. And then they're going to come back and revisit this in February, March, April. April's when they'll approve a final budget and tax rate.
But it's important to point out that the current board is moving forward with the assumption that they will increase the tax rate.
That's correct.
And obviously my mind goes to the politics of the matter.
Right.
How do you politically defend that in this economy, raising the tax rate? That's going to be difficult to do.
Very carefully. You've got two people running for the board, Dwayne Snow, the Republican from Samuel Miller, Rodney Thomas, Republican from the Rio District. Their one of their key platforms has been zero-based budgeting. So they are saying, that they don't want to raise taxes and instead look for more cuts.
Yeah, cut deeper.
Cut deeper. Look at it line by line. What you've got the incumbents saying, Dennis Rooker, David Slutsky, is we've done that. Bob Tucker has done that, and we've done it year after year after year. Dennis Rooker at a senior statesman forum last week said the county had tried zero-based budgeting and found that it didn't work for them, that it was you had to invest too much time and effort for too little gain for that amount of effort. So, you know, we had tough times last year and the year before. So I think what Mr. Tucker is saying is now we've got to start backing away some of these key initiatives that we have had.
Well, from what everything I've read, Brian, without the stimulus funding, it's going to be fireworks in Richmond coming up, because that's the long budget session coming up, January, February, and March. And a lot of the responsibility without the stimulus funding for the shortfalls in Richmond are going to fall on local governments. And this is a conversation that is starting to happen all across Virginia, as all these local governments figure out, oh my God, we have no money to do what we need to do, so we need to redefine what it is we do.
Well, and you ask about, you know, how are they really framing this? The county staff are framing it as follows. Lee Catlin is the community relations person for the county. She said nobody's tax person burden, excuse me, actually increases because reassessments are still declining. So they're saying even though the rate is going up, you're still paying the same amount. That doesn't hold true over the 5 years, though. And the assumption they put in place was to maintain that new rate for 5 years. Again, this will all come back to the elected officials to talk about next year. But as you pointed out, there is an election and there may be other people sitting in those seats. Madison Cummings held a press conference yesterday in reaction to this news and in reaction to a statement Dwayne Snow made. Mr. Snow at the Senior Statesman Forum last week said he thought a line-by-line assessment of the county budget could eliminate 15% to 20% of the county budget, that you could reduce the budget by that amount. And what Mr. Cummings said was that he thought that was reckless and irresponsible to make a proposal like that. And so the pushback you're seeing from a Madison Cummings, a David Slutsky, a Dennis Rooker is, if you're saying that zero-based budgeting can significantly cut the budget, then tell us where you're going to cut it. Right now, there have not been specifics on those proposals. So I think that's another thing. We talked about the candidate forums happening the rest of this week. I think that's something the public should be exploring and
trying to get more specifics.
Continue to press these candidates.
Because that's a tactic of all challengers. and it often works. You don't have to be specific. You can just say, hey, if you elect me, I'll really cut. I'll show you some cuts. I can cut 15%. How would you do that? Well, you got to elect me. I got to get in there so I can finally see it to do it. Yeah, that's used national politics, local politics. And it's often, it can often work. You don't necessarily need to have the specifics.
Well, we should point out that, you know, Ken Boyd has run as a fiscal conservative. He's currently on the Board of Supervisors. He's been involved in these budgets over the past, long period. And so while he has not always been a fan of voting for increased tax rates in all cases, the board unanimously approved the tax rate that we have now, because they had to raise it up to a certain level. And again, they did the same thing last year.
So it doesn't mean that Boyd would necessarily vote to raise it a few months from now. But he has green-lighted the staff to move forward with the assumption that there will be a tax increase.
Well, I'm talking about in the past, in the current tax rate that we have. I think he did express concerns at this retreat that was something he was not interested in seeing the tax rate go up significantly. But I just point that out, that there have been, whatever we want to call them, budget hawks, whatever, people that have looked very carefully at the budget and made that a part of their approach to their work on the Board of Supervisors. And Ken Boyd has certainly been one of those people looking carefully at the budget.
And, yeah, I guess the assumption is if there is 15% in there to cut, wouldn't Ken Boyd have done it by now?
Well, I think
if anyone would have done it, it certainly would have been him, right?
I think the county is trying to be creative. The county executive, Bob Tucker, is trying to bring those best ideas to the board at a retreat. So that's what they talked about. Now, interestingly, the board members had some ideas of their own. One, they suggested working better with the business community to promote the economy. They want to diversify their tax revenue and get the sales tax revenues back on the upswing. They're also looking at, the supervisor said, let's delay some of these capital projects, the Ivy and Pantops fire stations. Let's look at merging services and departments with the city of Charlottesville. That was something the supervisors put on the table last Friday.
Yeah, that seems to me like a big no-brainer at this point, because there's such redundancy. There is redundancy,
The challenge is the city is not in the same boat fiscally. And so the county may be interested in that. One of the reasons the county is very interested in it is because of the revenue sharing payment that goes to the city every year. This year it's over $18 million. Several of the candidates have said they want to focus on revenue sharing and figuring out how to better use those monies to support both localities. That's something Rodney Thomas has said in the course of the campaign. Unless the city gets...
So the city ain't hurting. So they're not rushing to the table to try to combine services and get rid of redundancies.
They're not.
Interesting. I love politics. I think it's so fascinating.
We'll be watching the story over the next 5 months. But anyway, that's where we are right now, Coy.
Brian, we had a caller who wanted to know, where did the county Board of Supervisors go on this retreat and who paid for it? They went to a ski resort in Denver, right?
Great question. Because as you all know, I followed city council to Stanton for their retreat last year. This was over at the Fontaine Research Park, the Virginia Department of Forestry. So I don't know that that cost them any money. If it did, they just had to rent the room. But they were here in Altamaha County.
So
they had their retreat.
No swanky locale.
No swanky locale.
Unless you call lunch at Dirty Nelly's,
So the local media is glad they were here in town.
Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn more online at cvilletomorrow.org. Keep an eye out in your mailbox for the new county and city voter guides. They're on the way. Or you, if you don't want to wait, you can go right now to cvilletomorrow.org/elections and get all the details. Brian, have a great week. See you next Tuesday.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.